Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Welcome back to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, a ministry of the North American Mission Board. I'm Dan Hurst, along with Mark Clifton, and our friend Mark Halleck, whom you'll be hearing from here in just a few moments. We've been talking about, are you ready to be a revitalizing pastor? And I just want to kind of recap. Last week we talked about, or the last episode, it may not have been last week, but the last episode was, will I pray for my church daily and for members and for my own leadership? And will I see this opportunity as a mission field? And will I make a commitment for the long haul? And then fourthly, we talked about, will I love my critics and those who leave the church? Now this week, we're going to continue in that vein. Am I ready to be a revitalizing pastor? And Mark,
yep.
As we look at, there's a whole process that one has to go through, and it's just not one step, and then the next step, and then the next step, but it's just ongoing.
It's all the time, right. And you know, revitalizing a church, it has to be, it's your leadership that leads in that, and it's not your personal leadership. Mm-hmm. It's your leadership as it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, directed by the Holy Spirit. It's Christ who revitalizes his church, but he chooses to work through leaders. So he's going to choose to work through you, and you have to ask yourself, is he doing that? And am I called to do this? Just because you want to do it doesn't mean you're called to do it. And so how do I know if I'm called to do it? Do I have these gifts? Do I have these desires for these gifts? To have the desire to do these things. And again, as Dan said in the previous episode, go back and listen to it, and it's some great stuff that helps you understand if this is something God's called you to do. And so today we're going to look at part two on what that is. And so I have to ask myself a couple of things. And one of the things you're going to have to be if you're going to be a pastor in a revitalization or a replant, are you ready? You're going to have to be a continuous learner,
yeah.
All right? Now, here with Mark Halleck, Mark drove all the, we're in Kansas City while we do these. We do these all over the country, actually.
We've been in a basement in Denver.
We'll come to your basement. If you would like us to come to your basement.
Invite us.
You invite us. We'll stay all night. As long as you put up some air mattresses on the floor, we'll be fine. And we'll do that. We do the podcast from your, no, yeah, we will go anywhere and do a podcast. But anyway, we're in Kansas City, and we are at the Spurgeon Library, actually. This is actually the podcast studio Spurgeon used.
This is the one.
Right.
That's why
here.
I drove all night.
It took a long time to get it, but we got it shipped over here from England. So this is Spurgeon's podcast room. But we're here, and it's kind of important to talk about that because we talk about leadership in a church. I mean, you talk about Spurgeon. By the way, Spurgeon revitalized the Metropolitan Tabernacle, our temple. It was definitely something that needed to be
declining church.
Declining church. Yeah. Certainly, Metropolitan Tabernacle.
There you go.
I said temple.
Yeah,
Metropolitan
right.
Temple.
I saw it in your eyes. I knew.
Metropolitan
I knew you had
Temple
it.
Was the Independent Baptist Church across over in London. Okay, that's. I'm sorry for my Independent Baptist friends out there. All right, what am I talking about? Oh, leadership. You've got to be a continuous learner. And so Mark Halleck is here. Mark, God used Mark to replant the Calvary Church in Englewood, Colorado, many years ago. God's done a great work in Mark's life. Not only has he replanted that church, for those of you who don't know him, he's been used of God to replant a network of dying churches across the mountain states. And Mark, you raise up leaders in your church all the time. So what does it mean to be a continuous leader?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, a continuous learner. I mean, this is foundational.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Continuous learner.
I got you.
You know what I meant.
I know you meant.
Very good.
Listen, it's huge. I mean, at the root of being a continuous learner is being having a humble heart and a teachable heart. And I would say the moment you think you've got this thing figured out, the moment you think you're an expert. I mean, that's one of the things I love about you, Mark.
That I'm not an expert?
No, well, here's the truth. You're as much of an expert as we might have in this area. That's the truth. And yet your humility and teachability, you want to learn and keep growing. And I love that about you. And I think it's such an example for all of us of being learners. And listen, if we want our people to be learners and to grow, then we need to model that hunger to keep growing, keep developing. And I think in leadership, it's absolutely critical to grow in. There's multiple areas we could talk about. Growing in your people skills, growing as a shepherd. How well do you love people? Do you understand your tone when you speak? You come off harsh, brother.
Do you understand your facial expression?
Your facial expression.
When you walk into a room,
that's right. Do you just seem ticked off and mad?
Yes.
Or do I want to hug you? I mean, there's a big difference. Absolutely. These things matter in church revitalization. And so growing in that, growing in your ability to preach and exegete the word, growing in your leadership chops and how to raise up and develop other people. So we need to be growing in all of these areas. And that should not be seen as a burden, but a joy that God, I got so much to learn and so many areas to grow in. Thank you that I get to do that here in this local church.
You know, one of the things I noticed, I'll sit down with guys, and now I'm giving up these clues, so people, now they won't do this, but naturally, if they do it, I'll sit down with a guy who's in a revitalizing situation, and all he wants to do is tell me how much he knows, and he never really wants to listen to what I might have to say. I got some problems with that.
Red flags.
Yep. But I can sit down with some guys who are doing an incredible job in revitalization. And the first thing they want to do is ask me, what else can I learn?
That's right.
What have you been hearing out there? There's hunger to know more.
That's right.
And so that's really what a continuous learner is. It's someone who says, man, I don't even know what I don't know yet. I've got so much I need to learn. And it's important. We talk about, Mark and I understand, and Dan too, one of the characteristics of a revitalizing pastor is that you're a generalist.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do just about everything.
That's right.
You may have to learn how to change the filter on the furnace in the church because nobody else is going to do it. You may have to learn how to lead music because nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah.
You may have to learn how do you do payroll? How do I find somebody to do that? Because nobody else is going to do it. So you're a lot of things you're going to have to learn. And if you're the attitude that, well, that's not my job, I can't do that, then you probably need to
listen,
do something else.
Listen, that's such a good word. I met with a pastor not long ago, young guy, who has read all the books on replanting, and he's excited about it. But literally, he comes out of a context, a ministry context, I think a large church context, where there were specialists.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not kidding. He said without stalling in any way, basically said, look, I know God's called me to preach. The people stuff is not my thing. Literally, he said this. I am not a people guy. And so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to hire another pastor to love the people so that I can just preach. And I said, brother, with a hand on his shoulder, rubbing his back a little bit, listen, bud, you've missed your calling here.
Yeah.
There's just no way. You cannot convince me that if you want to go to a dying church, that all you want to do is preach, you got to be crazy in love with these people, and they got to know it. Your preaching flows out of your pastoring,
right,
not the other way around. And so anyway, it's just
example. I'm 63 years old, and Dan has known me all of my life. His dad and my dad were roommates in college, and we've known each other our entire lives. And Dan's you've loved me my whole life, and I appreciate that. But I promise you, when I was in my 20s and my 30s, I was not the person I am today. You don't remember this, Dan, but Dan and I served at a church in, I went to a little church plant in Liberty, Missouri. It was called Eastside Baptist Church. It was a little church plant. Met in a second story of a downtown building above a vacuum cleaner sales office, right? I was a freshman in college. I was 18 years old. And there's about 10 people in that church on a good Sunday. And I went, I was their first pastor, and then Dan was coming in to that same college, and he was going to be their pastor. And I knew that. I was holding place till Dan showed up. So I was there for about a year until Dan and his family moved up there. And then there was this rural church in North Missouri, Alta Vista Baptist Church, that called me to be their pastor. And you may not even remember this. I bet you don't, but it's sealed in my memory. And so I'm 18 years old. I've been at Liberty Community. I've been at Eastside Baptist Church for a year. First thing Dan did was change the name to Liberty Community Fellowship, by the way. I'll never forget that. Changed the name of my church. But anyway, so this little church up in North Missouri calls me to be their pastor out in the open country, and I'm all excited. I'm 19 now, so
wow.
I've
You're
matured.
You're a big boy.
I'm matured.
That's right.
And Dan was living in a duplex there in Liberty where we went to college, and he took me down into his basement, and he set me down and started a makeshift office down there, and you just spoke directly to me, and you just said, you know, I'm not sure you're ready to do this because these are some things I haven't seen in you that a pastor needs.
Mm.
And Dan's a little older than me, not much, but a little, and it took me by surprise,
yeah,
you know, because I thought oh, I'm everything.
I got to figure it out.
I'm 18. Yeah. I've already planted a church. Yeah. It's grown. It's swelled to 10. You know, what more do you want, Dan? I've left it right there for you. Now I'm on to my next big project. And I didn't really pay attention to you. I just kind of, you know, I kind of shrugged it off. And everything he said when I went to the next church, he was absolutely right. Mm. And then I had people, other people in my life tell me stuff. But it wasn't until I began to listen to them mm-hmm. and say, you know what? Maybe I need to work on these things that God began to really use me. And really, it was in my 50s and now my 60s that are my most productive years in ministry because I have decided to actually learn and not think I know everything.
Amen, bro.
You know, one of the things, though, about that is, and I really appreciate what you just said about I'm in my 50s and 60s, and now it's really finally starting.
Right.
You know, we're getting to that point. And that's the result of continuous learning. You get to a point of contentment.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, you're never content until you realize that you are learning and God is up to something in your life. You know, that He really is doing something.
You know, I hadn't put my finger on it, but I am more the work isn't easier. The work is harder. Mm-hmm. I grow tired more. I was on an airplane yesterday, and for the first time ever, my hips began to hurt.
Oh,
so I came home, and I said, Jill, honey, I was sitting on this airplane, and my hips began to hurt. She said, really? I said, I wonder what that is. She said, how old are you? And I'm 63. She said, well, there's your problem. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm older. I'm tired.
Yep, yep.
I don't have the energy I used to have. But I'm far more content now than when I had all that energy. And you're right. I'm willing to say I don't know everything. And I'm okay with that, and I want to learn more. And that brings contentment in us. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to be happy.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not the same thing,
no.
obviously.
No.
And so many young pastors are looking for happiness and looking for fulfillment but it's really something that happens, and if you work to be content, you fail.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just something that happens as a result of working to do the right thing. Let's talk about another point, and that is it relates to not only how you relate to your people, but man, this is a big deal for me, how you and your church, but how you relate to your community.
Mm-hmm. Do they see Jesus in you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do you reflect Jesus or do you reflect something else?
Yeah, I'm not the director of a play telling the actors how to act.
Right.
All you people, this is how you're supposed to act. But I'm the guy that's supposed to be out there being Jesus.
Will I be that in my community?
Yeah.
It's one thing, Revitalizing Pastor, to be that way in front of your people. Because, after all, in a sense, they are your employer. So how you act in front of your employer at work may be different than how you act when you're not at work and you're not around your employer. So how do you behave when you're in the world around you?
Hey, I'm going to interrupt you because you are so good at this. This is, I mean, honestly, I mean, you're at, you know, Warner Road. I mean, I would love for you to get practical for a second because I think you do this so well. You've done it at Linwood. You love the community. And part of the reason your churches have grown and begin to really missionally engage the community is because of your model. And so, like, practically, I think there's a lot of young guys going, man, I've never seen it before. Like, what do I do?
All right, I'll tell you what, Kyle, wake up. Wake up. Dan, wake him up. Kyle's our producer. Kyle, okay, what are you playing there? What game are you playing? Are you really? All right, well, get off the video game. If you'll make a note, we do need to do a whole episode on community engagement. We will do that. We'll do a whole episode because that's important.
That's great.
But on the short answer is, I'm keenly aware that whenever I'm in the community, people are looking to me as the pastor.
Mm.
When I walk, and I'm in a rural community now, so when I walk into Dollar General, I want to smile at everybody I see.
Right, yes. Yep.
If I'm standing in line, I don't want to look frustrated because the lady in front of me is not knowing how to do the self-checkout. You got it?
Yeah.
I want to visit with the clerk. Yeah. I want to ask how she's doing. I want to be smiling all the time. I want to be, not in a false smile. I don't mean that. But I just don't, I want my countenance to look like I actually am a happy person.
Yeah. I love Jesus.
I love
people.
I love people.
Yeah.
And I care about people.
That's right.
And I want to serve people. And so will I be Christ in my community? I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah.
People look at you. They listen to you. And look, it's hard sometimes. We forget what we're doing, and yep. we just, you know, we get frustrated with life itself. But will you be a servant to people who never will come to your church?
Yes.
Will be a servant to people who maybe go to a different church, but will you still love them the same way?
Yeah.
Will you do, now, that's important because that's what you should do as a Christian. It's also important because, as Dan said, it models for your church how to behave.
Right.
It's a living sermon on how to do that. And let's be honest. People are the worst sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. They can drive us nuts. And I'm not a people person at all. Dan knows that. He's known it, you know, my whole life. And my team knows that. Yeah. People on my team know that. Sometimes they call me, and I don't mean to do this, but like I can't wait to get off the phone. One of our coworkers, Bob Bickford, whenever I'm riding with him in the car, he says, "Dude, before the car stops, you've got your seatbelt out and you're already got the door open." I'm not a people person, right? So how do I love people?
Yeah, yeah,
how do I engage in that? I love Jesus more.
Yeah.
The Amen. More you love Jesus, Amen. The more you love people. Do not, listen to me, turn it up. Listen to this. Do not try to do this in your flesh.
Mm.
You'll do it one day, but you'll be all ticked off and you won't do it the next.
Yep.
And if people see you like kind of turn it on and turn it off, that's worse.
That's right.
Then you're not even being genuine.
Totally. It's fake.
They'd almost rather you just be grumpy all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
But if every day you just lean into Christ and you love him more, the more you love him, the more you'll love people.
Amen.
And I have to battle that every day.
Yeah.
Because if I had my way, I would go every day into my basement and just read history and watch documentaries. That's what I would do, you know. Yeah. But God wants me out there. That's really the way Satan kind of works on me. And so I have to love Jesus more. So you have to be Jesus in the community. Actually, I kind of wrote this out, and I said you have to be incarnational in the community.
Yeah.
And these guys said, "Who wrote that?" I said, "Well, I did." And they said, "Well, let's change it."
Well,
okay.
All I could think of was a flower.
The incarnation in the community.
You know, one of the things that you just talked about was loving the people. And one of the things that I tell my people all the time, that in the practical sense, love is allowing God to do something in someone else's life through you.
Right.
And so the only way that I can love my people is to let God do something in their life through me.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not letting God do something in their life, I'm not loving them.
Right.
Same thing in my community. The only way that I can love the people in my community is to let God do something in their life through me, whether they're part of my church or not.
Right. So you've got to love your community and behave that way, as well as loving your church. If you're going to be a revitalizing pastor, because and we got to hustle here, because we don't want to get to the next one, which is really maybe the most important one, or they're all important. But if you're going to be a revitalizing pastor, let's be honest, you're not going to revitalize a regional church that's going to reach the whole city.
That's right. Yep.
What we've lost in North America is the neighborhood church that is embedded in its community.
Yes.
And so it's doubly important in a revitalization. Look, in a revitalization, you've got. I just became the transitional pastor of a church. I'm a member at Linwood, and that's where my membership is. And we got a great young man there who's doing the preaching now. So they've let me go for a while, and I'm a transitional pastor of a church in Kansas City that was at 300, and now it's at 30.
Hmm.
All right, and so, but it's just a few miles from one of the largest churches in the city, Southern Baptist churches in the city. So if there are some Christian families who move into that neighborhood and they have children, guess what? They're not going to come to a church of 30 that used to have 350 and has no children's ministry.
Right.
They're going to go to the big church down the street. So the only way that this church is going to be revitalized is if they reach the unchurched and the lost in the neighborhood right around them.
Yeah.
So you have to love that neighborhood. You have to. That's your mission field. If you don't want that to be your mission field, then don't be a revitalizing pastor.
That's right.
All right?
Yep.
There'll be many days that I'm ready to leave that church, not the one I'm at now. Sorry, guys, I don't mean that. I'm just talking broadly. There are many days I might want to leave a church where I pastor because I'm frustrated with the people. But God called me to the community too, and I can't leave the community.
That's right.
So sometimes that keeps me there. Okay, so that's the third one. Let's see, we've talked about, will I be a continuous learner? Will I be content in what I'm doing? Will I be a leadership example of who Jesus is in the community? What's the fourth one, Dan?
Well, I take care of my family. Mm. Man, that's so important.
Yeah.
If not the most important thing for us.
And Mark, why is it important in specifically in any pastor situation, but specifically in a revitalization? Why is it so important to take care of your family?
Well, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, if we're not caring for our wives, let's start with our wives. We have no business leading the church. If we're not shepherding our children first, we're not even qualified. So this isn't like our opinion on this. This is God's word on this. And I think what that says to me is, man, as excited as I am about this church and this community and with vision and what God could do, if I'm not more excited about my wife that the Lord has given me and the sweet kiddos that I have, if we have kids, then right there I need to check my heart and say something's not right, something's off. My greatest passion should be loving my wife and loving my kids. And the church is second, not first, right? And we've seen time and time again, I've shared this before, but I have a list on my phone of over 50 pastors that I've known who are now out of ministry because of unfaithfulness in their marriage. Mm. And I think, you know, what happened? Because these guys didn't happen overnight. You know, and I think this is where even yesterday I lead a cohort. We've got about 20 guys from around the country, a revitalization cohort, and we talked about this very thing. That does your wife feel like, does she feel like and know that you love her more than you love the church? What about your kiddos? Do your kids know, listen, my dad will drop anything with church stuff to come to my basketball game, to take me out for a Coke, you know? And guys, here's the truth. If you want to lead a church over time of healthy families and strong men who love their wives and love their kids, then you've got to be that by God's grace. And so I would say taking care of your family is absolutely critical, both relationally, spiritually, and otherwise.
Listen, sometimes, and I've been in this work a long time, and sometimes when in marriages, you know, they ebb and they flow. I mean, they just do. There are times when I'm sitting across looking at Dan, and we go back so far, and I got – we're probably going to have to quit doing this because every time I look at you, I think of a different story.
Some of them good, some of them not good.
So I hadn't been married for very long, and it was like – it was seasons of just incredible bliss. And then I'd come home one day, it's like, well, what happened?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like the expression on the face has changed, everything's different. And then a few days later, we're all back to work. So I remember I called Dan. I go, Dan, what's that? Dan said, you don't know. He said, actually, all wives are like aliens. And he said, about every few weeks or every month or two, the mothership passes overhead. And when the mothership passes overhead, they become completely different. And then it moves on, and they're back to where they were. And that's been great. I have lived that for the rest of... Oh, man, we're going to get in trouble.
We are in so much trouble.
But what he was saying was that we all... Dan, he was kidding. He said, we all have moods. And nobody is exactly the same every single day.
No, that's
and
right.
We're to love our wives no matter what attitude she might have that day. And we're not the same every day as husbands. We come home someday all excited and enthused, and some days we're so depressed about work. And so marriage has its ebb and flows.
Yep.
And so sometimes when it's on a low ebb, rather than work through that, we just do more work at the church.
Mm-hmm.
We spend more time with our church people. When at that point, we should be spending more time with our family.
That's right. That's right.
Guys, I can't emphasize that enough.
Yep.
You have to work at your marriage.
Yep.
And church can often be an excuse not to work at
your marriage. And which is why you need to coach your church on the importance of you caring for your family.
That's right. So, Kyle, make a note. We need to do another one all on marriage. I mean, we really do. We need to do another one on marriage. I agree.
And I would say with kiddos, too. Probably being a dad.
Marriage
and kids. How to involve your kids.
And I do want to say when it comes to take care of your family, listen to me, guys, please. If you're considering going to a church that needs revitalization, do not undersell it to your family.
Oh, man.
Don't tell them, hey, they say they want to change. It's going to be all right. You need to tell them, look, I know they say they want to change, but this church is in a deep hole. And it's going to be hard, and then the second year will be harder, and the fourth year will be probably even harder. It'd be much better to oversell the pain and have it less than it is than to undersell it and have it more than it is.
Yeah.
Plus, if you do that, then your kids understand your passion for that ministry.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Let's wrap this up. We've been looking at revitalization and replanting in this Revitalize and Replant podcast with Mark Clifton. And we've talked today about, will I be a continuous learner? Will I be content, which is such a critical element of it? Will I be the example of Jesus in my community? And will I take care of my family? And if you've enjoyed the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would subscribe if you haven't done so already. It's just easy to do. Just click on the button. Doesn't cost you anything. But it's just a way of us, the more people that subscribe, the better it is and easier it is to market the podcast and let other people know about it. So we would appreciate that. And please leave us your comments and your questions. We'd love to take a look at those. And it helps us get better at what we do. Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, we need all the help we can get. Hey, we're grateful for the North American Mission Board. They make this thing possible. Yeah. And I know there's a tag at the end that talks about it, but you can check us out at churchreplanters.com. And thank you for all you who support the North American Mission Board through the Cooperative Program and the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.